Welcome to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. This program is designed to teach and educate you about the history and the infallibility of God's holy word. We trust you'll find today's program challenging and encouraging. Your host, Bruce Musselman, combines many years' experience as a pastor, author, and conference speaker. Here now with today's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Once again, I'm so glad to be with you, and I'm thankful today for all that the Lord has done for us, and He has been such a blessing in my life, and He's been a blessing in the life of millions of people that have loved Him and followed Him and trusted in Him. And I think of the verse, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changing when it comes to His love and to His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness of sins when we come to Him in repentance and faith. And not only that, He has given us His words, and His words do not change. And people put out counterfeit Bibles that change, and that's one of the reasons we have the program. They change the words of the Bible. And it always interests me that people talk about when Adam and Eve fell, when the devil tempted them, and they skirt around some of the most important things. That the fact that the devil, the first thing he comes to them, and I've mentioned this many times, but he says, yea, hath God said. So he starts out agreeing, talking like he's agreeing with them, and then he says, yea, hath God said. So they have what is called the law of first mention, and it's a very important law in the Bible when something is mentioned for the first time. So we see that Satan, the devil's first job that he has, and the first thing on his agenda is to question God's word. And so he works at that, and of course he's doing a very good job at that today in questioning it in so many different ways. And so that's why we have this program. But the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Jesus picked the 12 apostles, and then he said, I give unto them the words that thou hast given me. And he said not only that, he said that they would have the words and the Holy Spirit would abide with them forever. And he would guide them into all truth, and he would abide with them forever. And then it said he not only would bring all things to the remembrance, but he would teach them new things also. So he would help them to remember what he said and then teach them new things. But at Pentecost, he actually gave him the translations of these words into many different languages. And then in many of the Gospels, he said that he would preserve those very words. It just reminds me that this last week, somebody brought up to me, they said, well, the Gospels were written at a later date. And of course, they weren't written at the time of the apostles. And of course, that's the teaching of modernists. But it some Muslims got a hold of that. And somebody was telling me that the Muslims would bring that up and say, oh, these Gospels were written at a later date. Well, we know that they were written right after the time, at the time of the apostles, or short, and they were accepted shortly after this. And I can tell you why. You read some of the early church fathers. So, for instance, Ignatius of Antioch, who was trained by the apostle Paul, and then possibly Irenaeus, also trained by the apostle Paul, and then others in the very first centuries that had the scriptures, and they quote from the New Testament books that we have today. And in some books, they will have the list of quotations and many, many quotations by each one of these writers that were living in the first and second century. We have, for instance, Ignatius of Antioch in 100, and he is quoting 1 Timothy 3:16, where it says, God was manifest in the flesh, just like the King James Bible says it. And we have Tatian's Diocletian, it came a little bit later, but he is quoting, it's a harmony of the Gospels. He's quoting, you see, the text behind the authorized King James Bible. And so we see that, and there's other things that show us this. For instance, a number of the Gospel writers, they will talk about Peter cutting the high priest's servant's ear off, his servant's ear off. And they mention that story, but they don't mention who did it. Well, the reason they didn't mention who did it was if they mentioned Peter's name, then he could have been arrested and tried for his attack on these people that had arrested Jesus. And so, John writes about it and mentions the same story. It mentions Peter's name. Well, it shows by that time, Peter had gone to be with the Lord. And so John could write his name now when he told the same story. The other gospel writers would not have put his name in because of the fact that Peter could have been arrested. But it shows that these writings were written and many other evidences very, very early. And as this Muslim was bringing this up, because he heard this from some modernists that was written at a later date. But we have all the evidence by the earliest writers of the earliest church fathers that they were quoting from it. We have list of words and list of the number of times they quoted from the New Testament. Origen, who lived between 185 and 254, quoted many, many times from the New Testament. And so we have it. And then the Bible says that God would preserve it. In three of the Gospels, God would preserve it. Do you know that in seminaries today, and many of these people are taught in these seminaries, and then they're taught in Bible schools after that, there's no place in the Bible where God said he would preserve his words. Well, you know, if they go and teach in seminary, they ought to learn how to learn how to read English. Because three of the Gospels clearly said that heaven and earth should pass away, but my word shall not pass away. This is found in Matthew 24:35, but also two other Gospels state this. And God said that, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world, for I have given them the words that thou hast given me. So God has given the whole world the words that he wanted them to have, the whole world. And so at Pentecost, it says, every man heard them in his own language in which he was born. And so the languages were, the New Testament then was given, the translations were given at that time. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Well, it wasn't words that sounds that nobody understood. It was clear-cut words. And so the New Testament then was translated into the languages of the world by God and then preserved by God. And then you get to, he preserved them. And where did he preserve them? In the New Testament churches. I have a book at home. It says, where the Waldensians, and it's a name for New Testament Christians that go right back to the time of the apostles, and named after Peter Walder, but they were there long before him. And it says, were they independent Baptists? Well, if you read the New Testament, I go to an independent Baptist church because I've read the New Testament 100 times, and that's exactly what they teach in an independent Baptist church. And many other Baptist churches, but some of them were influenced by modernism. But I mean, in a true church like that, that's what the New Testament teaches. If you read it, you'll be very happy in going to one of these churches. Now, the Waldensians, Waldo came long after after these churches were in existence, but they named him after Peter Waldo. And it says in the book, it says, were they independent Baptists? Well, it sounds to some people sort of strange, but this book has the documented evidence of what they believe, because all through the ages they gave their confessions of faith. But not only that, in the book it has the documented evidence of what Catholic leaders said about them all through the Dark Ages. And so the Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And the true churches down through the ages that followed the New Testament, the church, the truth is the word of God, but a pillar is what upholds the building, and the ground is what the building is set on. And so the true churches are the pillar and ground of the word of God, the truth, which is the word of God. And they had the true text right through the ages, right from the time of the apostles. These churches had the true text, which was translated into the King James Bible. And then God put his seal of approval on it. And millions upon millions of people were saved through the King James Bible. I think of A.T. Robertson, who although is a Greek guru and looked up to, yet he says the Textus Receptus is dead. And he was blind to the fact he wouldn't say the King James was dead, but the Textus Receptus is the basis of the King James. That was the apostolic text come down to us in many languages. And so he said, and he was blind to the fact, and when he said that, Billy Sunday had gone to New York, who was a King James-only person, and he said if scholarship disagree with the Word of God talking about the King James Bible, scholarship go plumb to the devil. And he went to New York City and had over 120,000 converts at a revival meeting and turned them into Bible-believing King James Bible believers. And, you know, it just reminds me at that time, there's a book a lot of preachers use his messages. His name was Talmage, was mightily used by God, and he was a pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle. And he said the King James Bible was a perfect translation. And I mentioned in one of our programs the long list of people that were Bible-believing preachers that God had greatly used in winning people to Christ that were believers in the authorized King James Bible or the text that it was based on, the received text. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses, strangely enough, they don't know this, but their New World translation, which was about as bad as the New American Standard, it's not the same translation, but it's based on the same corrupt text. It's given by the Catholic Church, the Jesuits. And they don't know that either, just like many people use the New American Standard don't know it comes from the Jesuits and the Pope in Rome. And anyway, they had a guy named Russell that started their false cult. And Russell claimed to be a Greek scholar. And, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses used to come around and they would say, the Greek says, and of course they were using the Catholic text, but they didn't know it. And they would come to the door, and I remember that, and they'd say, now the Greek says this, and the Greek says that, and something else. And anyway, so they one time Russell was, he was a con man, and he was brought into court. And so the lawyer on the other side said to him, he says, do you know Greek? Russell says, yes, I do. And the other lawyer says, well, wait, could you give the first a letter, the first number of letters of the Greek alphabet. I mean, what's, give us the Greek alphabet. Let's quote him. Well, he couldn't do it at all. And you know, that's like preachers today that are saying the Greek says. They don't even know where it comes from. They've either read somebody or it sounds, it's a pride thing. And yesterday, I was listening to someone on the radio and, he was talking about Uzziah, and so I looked it up in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and read about it. And Uzziah was a king, and he was following the Lord, and God just, it says, God helped him greatly. And so he was able to conquer a number of countries that had attacked Israel and attacked Judah and take over their cities and conquer them and then build up a huge army of over 300,000 men and strengthened the walls of Jerusalem. And everywhere he went, he was extremely prosperous. And then one day, after it says his heart was lifted up, that is, he became proud. And you know, the Bible says the devil is the king of pride. And you know, I remember my mother used to say, well, the devil's leading you around by the nose. Well, you know, when somebody gets proud, then the devil gets control of their thinking, and he starts leading them around by the nose or whatever way, and he starts controlling their thinking. And so in many places, I've seen so many times, and I remember they used to talk about the cows are going to hurt the environment because of flatulism. And I thought, man, that's ridiculous, you know. But the flatulism comes from these many times these seminaries where they get older and they start putting out spiritual flatulism, and eventually they begin to attack the Bible. They get proud, then the devil controls their thinking, and pretty soon you hear, this is an unfortunate translation, a better reading is, the original Greek says. And sometimes I listen to it because I spent years studying Greek, and I tell you, that to me, when somebody says that, that to me is an abomination. I just... And everywhere you go anymore, they have to throw the Greek says. And I just think of Russell when they ask him to give the alphabet. And I think that most of these people, they wouldn't even know. They couldn't even give a few letters of the alphabet, maybe the beginning and the end. But and so they do this. Now, here's Uzziah. He's helped on, the Bible says, greatly by God. And he's blessed over and over again. And then his heart's lifted up. He gets proud. And what he does is he goes into the temple of God and he offers incense in the temple of God. And the priest resists him there because it was their responsibility to do it. It was not his responsibility to do this. And so he was extremely angry at this. And so he resists them. At this point, God is angry with him because he didn't do it in God's way. And so God gives him leprosy, and he remains a leper the rest of his life. His heart's lifted up with pride. And I think today there's preachers that the problem is, even when they're young men, as they're studying the Greek text, and you know, it's amazing to me, they don't even teach them where the text comes from. I bet almost every evangelical and fundamental school at one time or another probably has used Nestle's Greek text, which comes, according to leading writers on textual criticism, like Ira Price, University of Chicago, and Kenyon, and they say this like everybody knows it, was put together originally by the Jesuits. If you study anything about church history, the Jesuits planned to infiltrate the Church of England and also were set up by the Roman Church to bring people back to Rome. And so they're using a Jesuit text. And right now, when they correct the King James, they follow the theories of Westcott and Hort to correct it based on a Jesuit text and photographs the Pope gave of his Vatican Bible. And so Uzziah was lifted up with pride. And so today, people are lifted up with pride, and they're proud because they can say the Greek says, or this, a better translation is, or a reading is. What are they doing? Well, the Bible has, God has given his seal on the King James. Millions of people were saved through it and continue to be saved through it. Not only that, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And it says we're a kingdom of priests. We don't get our information from somebody operating out a Coke machine in an air-conditioned office somewhere. No, it's the body of Christ that is the determination. And people that read the New Testament or read the Bible every single day read the King James over all other translations by a large majority, according to the latest statistics. And it keeps right on going. Why? It's the Word of God. And everything that the Bible says about the Word of God points to the King James Bible, like a laser beam. The Word of God is powerful. Every revival comes through it. And if you want to know where it is, you don't go to the sagging theories of Westcott and Hort, who were founders of the New Age movement, but you go to what the Bible says about itself. This is the text that has come down to us from the Christ and the apostles. And when you read it, you are reading the very words of God. Now, I tell you, people that are attacking it, this makes them very angry, like King Uzziah got angry. You know that there is a pastor in Moody Church, and his name was Logsdon. And Pastor Logsdon got men together that put out the new ASV. Now, of course, the text of it was helped to be put together by Archbishop Carlos Maria Martini of Milan, Italy, a Roman Catholic archbishop. And he put the text, which is the basis, Nestle's 23rd edition of the New American Standard Version. But anyway, this other Logsdon helped to get the text put together, the men put together that made this text also and made the translation of the text. That's what I mean. I'm getting my thoughts a little mixed up here. But no, put together the translation of the text. And so after the New American Standard came out, David Otis Fuller pointed out to him all the changes that had been made. And there's about 100 places where the names of Jesus are taken out of the New American Standard. And the same goes for the NIV and all the rest of them. And so he pointed this out, and Lawson became very alarmed, and he called together the guy that was the publisher of the New American Standard, and he says, I got to have a talk with you. And the man says, well, I'm going on my honeymoon. When I come back, he said, I'll talk to you about it. Well, he went on his honeymoon, but he didn't come back with the bride. He came back in a box. He died on the way. And I tell you, Jesus says this. He said, the last words of Jesus, he says in Revelation, he says, he puts a curse on them if they change his words or add to his words. You know, I have said this so many times, but it astounds me today what is going on, and it hurts me. I pray about this program, and I'm sad about it, because constantly you turn on the radio, then you hear people correcting it. And just like Uzziah, he gets proud, so people get proud, and they get so proud that they will correct the Bible that has come down to us from the apostles and translated, and God has put his seal on it, the King James Bible. I believe every word of it is perfect. And Dr. Logsdon, after this, Pastor Moody Church, spent the rest of his life promoting the King James and saying it was the true word of God. You have Alfred Martin there, who is the executive vice president of the satellite schools, and he wrote a whole book on this subject. But every Tom, Dick, and Harry, they hear some preacher say this. And you know, the preacher will say, this Bible is the word of God. And I hear them stand up and they'll shout and hold it in their hand and say it's the word of God, referring to the King James. And then a few minutes later, this is an unfortunate translation. A better reading is. Do you know what they've just done? They've corrected God according to what they're saying. If they call it the word of God and they correct it, they're correcting God. Man, that's a lot of ego. That's a lot of pride. Boy, that's as much pride or more pride than Pope Pius XI. He said everybody should recognize him as God on earth. Well, when you say you can correct God, that's even outdoing the Pope. And so they do this, and it's just destroying. You know what Moody said about this? D.L. Moody talked about this, man, and I know I mentioned this a number of times, but we should repeat it. And I think today I'd like to write a letter to Moody Bible Institute from D.L. Moody and quote what he said. But he tells this story about this man, and the preacher said to the man, he said, can I have your Bible? And the man says, no, you can't. You took it out, taken out all the unauthentic part and the verses that shouldn't be there according to you. And so all I have left now after you got done with it is the cover that says Holy Bible. And you know, Moody said, all this nonsense is driving men into infidelity. You know, these Bible correctors that do this, they never tell you where, they never give you any proof or evidence. You know, you're supposed to just, they say it, and then you're supposed to, I suppose, bow down and worship and believe it. The Bible says, in thy word do I trust. It says, cursed is everyone that putteth confidence in man. And you trust in these guys, and they talk night. Jesus says, they have men's persons in admiration through great swelling words. And Jesus says they do it because they love the honor that comes from one another. Therefore, they cannot hear my words. And you know, the Bible says that for envy they delivered Jesus. And they're envious because you believe the King James Bible is God's word and you don't trust them. When they correct it, you're supposed to trust them and not the Bible that you read. I tell you, this is outrageous. It's blasphemy. It's wicked. And they never give you any proof, never any evidence. Now, they get their evidence from photographs the Pope gave the world of his Vatican Bible and another one called Sinaiticus, which disagree in 3,000 places in the Gospels. And then a group of modernists make up a fictitious text. And they also make up a lexicon that is false definitions, like Strong's a lexicon, the Strong's Dictionary and Lexicon. You can use it to find things, but not to believe the definitions. And so then they're correcting God's word. Where is the word of God? They don't have it, and they don't like it if you don't have it either. But thank God we have it. And Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. We can take his word for it. It's in black and white. And if you're willing to repent of your sins and put your faith in Jesus, you will have eternal life. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We'll meet God in joy and peace. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. To learn more on this topic and to contact Bruce, visit his website at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. That's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. There you will find a vast array of resources on this topic, including copies of previous programs, articles by Bruce, and links to other recommended materials. Bruce is also available to speak to your church or organization. Again, that web address is whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the faithful listeners in this area.